ayes are 217, the nays are 213. The bill is passed, and without objection, the motion to reconsider is laid upon the table.
Sounds from the House floor there. Celebrations for Republicans, because after months of negotiations, Republican on Republican fights, and some nasty conversations with the White House, GOP lawmakers finally got their first job done yesterday on repealing Obamacare. The American Health Care Act is far from finished, though, and Republican cheers were met with this from Democrats. That was the scene on the floor, and outside, this was the scene at the bottom of the House steps right after the vote.
Shame on you! Shame on you! Shame on you! 2018!
Taunts of shame in 2018 as Republicans got onto buses to go celebrate with the president over at the White House. Was it a premature celebration? By most standards, yes, because the American Health Care Act now heads to the Senate, where Republicans have less appetite for the Medicaid cuts and the benefit changes and the likely coverage losses envisioned by House conservatives. Here to break down just what's in the bill at this point and what its chances are in the Senate is Sarah Cliff. She's senior policy correspondent at Vox. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Now that it's been through all of these deals, what are the big points of what this bill actually does for people's health care?
So I think the biggest point to me is that it would really break down Obamacare's coverage expansion. This is what we learned in the last Congressional Budget Office report. We haven't gotten one yet on the bill they just passed, but the last one gives us a good estimation, and it said that 24 million people will lose health insurance coverage. And that's really the headline to me. A lot of that is through the Medicaid expansion, this program that was part of Obamacare that would end in 2020. A decent amount is also through the private marketplaces. And I think really the thing that is happening at the core of the Republican bill is it is just spending a lot less money on those insurance coverage expansion programs that Obamacare has stood up.
I saw one analysis that showed something close to $1 trillion in reduced healthcare spending over the course of 10 years, paired with nearly the same amount of tax cuts for business, for wealthy people, for the healthcare industry, people like that.
Yeah, so you're really seeing a transfer of wealth here. And it was 100% true about Obamacare. It was a transfer of wealth from wealthier people to poorer people in order to get those people with less income health insurance coverage. And in the Republican bill, you're essentially seeing a reversal of that, of a really paring back of these entitlement programs that have either come into existence, like the marketplaces, or been expanded, like Medicaid. And a lot of that goes back to more high-income Americans in the form of getting rid of a lot of the taxes that were created in Obamacare for the exact purpose of expanding coverage.
I want to talk about pre-existing conditions because it's been so contentious, and rightfully so. It's a major issue. There seems to be a great deal of confusion about who with pre-existing conditions is actually affected. This really depends under this bill on whether your state applies for a waiver from pre-existing conditions protections, right? Does anybody right now know if they live in one of those states or what might happen if they have, say, diabetes or they've had cancer already, something like that?
If you're someone with employer-sponsored coverage, which I think right now is about 160 million Americans, you're fine. It doesn't matter if you have diabetes or cancer. That will all stay the same. This would apply to people who are in the individual market who have a break in coverage and then go apply for a new health insurance policy. And like you said, Todd, it'll be in states that apply for waivers. We really don't know, you know, how many states are interested in a waiver, which states. I think it's fair to say more liberal states like California and New York, they're not going to apply for waivers. They like the Affordable Care Act. They want to keep as much of it as possible. But, you know, there's states like Tennessee, for example, a state I was doing some reporting in a few weeks ago. They're really unhappy with Obamacare. They have seen some increases in premiums. They have a small area of the state that has no insurers who want to sell Obamacare. That's the type of state that I could see deciding to apply for one of these waivers. But we don't know at this point. It's kind of one of those big unknowns. And I've seen everything from some analysts who think every state will apply for a waiver to some analysts who think no states will apply for a waiver. So it's really hard to tell right now who would be in that bucket.
And the bottom line also is that a lot of the messaging against this bill, as strong as it's been, which says if you have diabetes, your premiums are going up $5,000. Just nobody knows that right now.
Right. It's really hard to tell. And I mean, I think this is something we learned with the Affordable Care Act. When you put all these big policy changes in place, you have unexpected consequences, both good and bad. There's a lot we learned about the Affordable Care Act and insurance markets. You know, to steal a line from Nancy Pelosi, it really was true at a level that we had to actually see the law to see what was in it, what worked, what didn't. And the exact same will be true of the Republican plan. It will kind of require somewhat of a rollout to understand how this affects insurance markets. But I think it is fair to say that this would be a less friendly insurance market to people who are sick, not only because of the changes to how pre-existing conditions are treated, but because there'd be less financial help in the insurance market. Older people could be charged higher premiums. States could also waive out of the essential health benefits package. So there are all these changes that aren't specific to pre-existing conditions, but just generally make this a less good market if you are someone looking for a robust health insurance policy.
Well, let's talk about the Senate then, because House Republicans finished their vote. They went down the steps. They got on buses. They went to the Rose Garden and had a big photo op celebration with the president. I watched them get on those buses. But this deal is far from done. I want to play you Missouri Republican Senator Roy Blunt. I talked to him yesterday just sort of about how the Senate is viewing this bill and what might happen once it gets there.
Apparently the House bill is popular enough that it got a majority of the votes in the House. So we'll look at it and I'm sure it'll be changed.
I took that, Sarah Cliff, as a very non-committal Republican message on repealing Obamacare. The House has managed to pass it. We're going to look at this thing. We're going to make some big changes, he said.
Right. I think you have a lot of senators who are not super enthused about the bill that the House passed. You know, had Senator Alexander saying that Senator Lamar Alexander from Tennessee saying we're going to just start from scratch, write our own bill in the Senate. I've heard other senators like Bill Cassidy from Louisiana tell me the same thing. So I think there are a lot of concerns about what is in the bill that the House just passed, and it faces an uphill battle. You know, that being said, I think the Senate also saw the House celebrating, saw the House saying, like, look, we can get this through. They had this victory. And even though the Senate probably is not excited at all to get started on this task, they don't want to be the ones where this fell apart.
A White House celebration over the repeal of Obamacare yesterday before a much more moderate Senate has even gotten hold of this bill. Sarah Cliff, senior policy correspondent at Vox. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Coming from a different world and only being a politician for a short period of time, how am I doing? Am I doing okay? I'm president. Hey, I'm president. Did you believe it, right? I don't know. I thought you needed a little bit more time. They always told me more time, but we didn't.
The House GOP and President Trump projected the optics of outright victory yesterday. Paul Ryan embraced President Trump almost a year to the day of refusing to endorse him during the campaign. But not all Republicans are in that kind of hugging mood. The health care bill and other deals have Trump supporters like former Republican Congressman and current radio host Joe Walsh feeling like they're not getting the deal that the dealmaker in chief promised so far in his presidency. Joe Walsh is a former congressman from the 8th Congressional District in Illinois. He's now host of the Joe Walsh program on the radio, and he says that yesterday was the worst possible photo op for Republicans.
I thought it was embarrassing. It's like you kicked a field goal in the first quarter and you have a big rally. You have a big celebration. You have a big ticket trip parade. I mean, look, this bill, I believe, and I've said it before, I'll say it again, I think could go a long way toward making Nancy Pelosi speaker again. I think this bill is bad policy. It doesn't repeal Obamacare at all. And I think it's bad politics. I think, look, there's a reason why the Democrats were smiling yesterday and the Republicans were not.
And what is that reason as far as you're concerned, Joe? Really, that the skeleton of Obamacare is in place? I mean, that law, as you know, is polling more popular than it ever was when you were in Congress, and a lot of your fellow Republicans now are skittish about getting rid of it.
Exactly. Therein lies the problem. I got elected 7 years ago screaming that I would repeal Obamacare. For 7 years, Republicans have. The dirty truth is Republicans no longer want to repeal Obamacare. Look, the bottom line is the American people 7 years ago were given another entitlement. It's damn near impossible to take an entitlement away. So what they tried to do, Todd, was cobble together you know, like three quarters of a loaf of bread instead of the full loaf of bread that Obamacare is. Nobody's going to support that. This was not a bill really that either side of the Republican Party was comfortable with. It's a real mess. And I fear, again, as Obamacare got people like me elected, I feel like this healthcare bill will get Democrats elected.
When you step back even from the healthcare bill, Joe, how's the president doing?
You know what? He's not doing well. And see, we're Trump supporters. The problem is we have too many Trump cheerleaders. Look, it's easy to blame Paul Ryan and the Republican Party because, yes, they got rolled. I mean, the Republicans, I think, are in charge of the House, the Senate, and the White House. We passed a spending bill this week that the Democrat Party loves. That is a Democrat spending bill. Nancy Pelosi, to her credit, loves it. Chuck Schumer loves it. And it's easy to blame Paul Ryan and the Republicans for that because they did roll. They did cave. But let's be frank. President Trump is supposed to be this unbelievable negotiator. He rolled. A lot of his base is upset. His base will give him a pass right now. But if he doesn't get money for that wall and begin building that wall, Donald Trump is toast.
So what are the listeners of the Joe Walsh program saying to you then? I assume you do call in on your show. I know that you're somebody who's disappointed with Trump so far. Do people have a sense that, oh, my pre-existing conditions, the price is going to go up even more? Donald Trump's a sellout. I don't know what your listeners are saying to you.
It's a mixed bag. So much of my listenership, Todd, still wants to give Donald Trump a real shot. And they are loath to blame him. It's kind of a weird thing, but in this conservative talk radio business, look, for ratings, the best place to be is to be like a blind Trump cheerleader, because that's what a lot of listeners want to hear. People like a Sean Hannity who say that, you know, Trump can do no wrong. I will say, though, the spending bill was a disappointment to them more so than the healthcare bill.
So when your callers call in, Joe, they seem to be happy with Donald Trump. They seem to think maybe that these failures are someone else's fault or it takes a long time to change Washington. What's going to be victory for them, 6 months from now?
You're right. It's Paul Ryan's fault. It's Mitch McConnell's fault. It's the Democrats' fault. It's the media's fault. Most of them are loath to blame Trump, though that's changing a little bit. What's going to change it? You know what? Trump needs a good victory. Yesterday in the Rose Garden, that was no victory, man. That was ridiculous. But cut taxes, real tax reform that will help grow the economy. I really think, Todd, that Trump's presidency comes down to that. I believe the Republicans are in trouble, big trouble, because of what they've done this week. I believe the left in this country has woken up like the Tea Party woke up 7 years ago. And it will overtake, I think, the Republicans unless this economy begins to grow. I think that's the key.
Joe Walsh, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, my friend.
Joe Walsh, former congressman from Illinois and host of the Joe Walsh Program.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.